Is every heart clear this evening? Anybody else with something you need to share or testimony? I think my voice is getting worse the further along we go here. Anybody want to preach tonight? Jonathan, Janae, you want to step up here? Oh, wow. They said that Chad was saying that, agree that they ought to reenact it or something. And they said, well, he must not have been here last year when that happened. I think that might be the case. That was the Sunday you were all in Florida last year, wasn't it? So it kind of shows there on the board. You know, just so y'all know, when you're gone, there's a 24-person's emptiness over there, so I think that's what it is. Well, I want to share again this evening with a little object lesson. When I speak to young people, I usually carry my little black bag with something inside. And I didn't intend to use an object lesson this morning until the very last, I guess last night it started to come to me. You could make that an object lesson. And then this morning I decided I'd get the young people, the kids involved with that, and thank you for your involvement. And at some point this morning it hit me. My dad was an object lesson person. A lot of people back in Ken's time of contact with him would remember, that's the thing that stood out to them most of the time, that Dad was an object lesson person. He'd do youth revivals and children's work, and he would have them bring any object, and he would make some kind of an object lesson with it. They'd bring him all sorts of stuff. Probably the worst things that they brought him was snakes. And he'd do it. He'd do two or three in a service. And he was known for it. And I thought sometime earlier this morning, I thought, you know, it might be a little fitting that I do two object lessons, which I'd already intended to do this one tonight. Do two object lessons on the perhaps what might be the last Sunday of his life on earth. I don't know if that's going to be the case, but it's very possible. And I talked to him this afternoon. I said, Dad, I did an object lesson this morning. Well, he immediately wanted to know what, how it was. And so I tried to share with him a little bit about that object lesson, but Ken remembers him back in his very youthful time of ministry. A lot of people in that time frame. I remember when I came here in April of 14 or of 7, when I came up here to meet with the board before I gave a decision of leaving Evansville and coming here, and I was standing back there at the doors. And different board members were coming in, and I didn't know who anybody really was. You know, I was still unaware of the tangles of Wisebaugh. And this little lady walked in back there and shook my hand and looked up at me. Maybe not that small, but she's pretty short. You know her. And Ruth Montgomery, and she said something about, are you related to Raymond Ziegler from Pennsylvania? Well, there's actually two different guys in Pennsylvania, Raymond Ziegler, not including my brother, two other adults. And so I wasn't sure exactly, but I never know if they're friends of Dad or foes of Dad. So I just kind of, well, you know, which one? And at what time frame are you talking? Well, this was back in the 70s. So I said, okay, that's good. And here Bonnie Montgomery sat under Dad's teaching as he was the academic dean at Pennview back in that time. And Bonnie thought quite a bit of my dad. And it's another name that you all know is Benny Durr Jr. He really had high regards for Dad. A lot of these names are coming up in conversations and thoughts as we look at the final days or hours of Dad's life. maybe just a little fitting that I do two object lessons in one day in memory or in honor of Dad. Tonight, we have that. Everybody here knows what that is, right? Somebody tell me what it is. It's a flower pot, but what kind of a flower pot? What's it made of? Clay. Clay. Do you know that we have something in common with a clay flower pot? Common. You know, something in common. That means that there's some similarities. Anybody want to admit that you have something in common with a clay flower pot? Well, we could probably do this in just a matter of minutes. We could break this thing down, take a hammer and crush it up, and then what would we have? Well, we'd have a mess. We'd have a pile of dirt. Simply a pile of dirt. And we have something in common with a flower pot. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Dust. A clay flower pot. It wasn't a secret that God made man out of dust. We find, as you look in Genesis 18, that Abraham also recognized that we as humanity are made out of dust. He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes." Now, dust is normally, when we think about dust, we normally think of it as a nuisance, right? That had to be the worst chore as a child, was dusting the house. We didn't have all those nice feathers back in that day. We used a rag and some spray stuff or whatever. Most of the time, I think that spray stuff was a concoction that Mom came up with. Dusting in the house was not a fun thing. I think it might have been worse than doing dishes. Dust, we normally think of dust as a problem. It's not something that we look for as something that we want around. In the book of Exodus, chapter 8, Moses and Aaron are in front of Pharaoh. And they take that rod. Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod, and he smote the dust of the earth, and that dust of the earth became what? Lice. Lice in man and in beast. All of the dust of the land became lice. Is that why we spend so much time, or you ladies spend so much time dusting the house, because of that connection? Lice. Now, some translations use the word mosquito or gnat instead of lice. Now, I don't know which one's the most accurate, except to say that they all three are a nuisance. All three of them are a pest. We don't like any one of them. The dust of the land became lice. We have something in common with lice. At least those lice, that lice. Numbers chapter 23, verse 10. The last part of verse 10 could be one of the favorite verses that I have in the Old Testament, at least. Where Balaam is saying, "Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his." You know, that's a good statement. The early part of that verse said, Balaam is saying, "Who can count the dust of Jacob?" And when he says that and uses that word dust, he's referring to the descendants of Jacob. As he's looking out over this great body of people called the Israelites, all of these descendants, even Balaam recognized that this people, this human form is but dust. We find another thing about dust in the Old Testament mainly, and it's used to signify a humble spirit or a point of humility. You find it in the book of Joshua, chapter 7, verse 6, after the battle of Ai and the Israelites lost that battle. You remember, Joshua rent his clothes. He fell to the earth with his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads, showing a sign of humility and bowing themselves reverently before God. Job chapter 2, verse 12, and they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not. Here's these comforters on their way. And they lifted up their voice and they wept and they rent everyone his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. We can go even beyond that and find in 1 Kings 16, there was a man by the name of Jehu. He was a prophet of God. And a king that Jehu was prophesying or speaking to by the word of the Lord. Here was a man by the name of Baasha that had disappointed God, that had turned his back on God. And God was saying to him, I have exalted you out of the dust. I have exalted you out of the dust and made thee a prince over my people Israel. You have walked in the way of Jeroboam and have made my people Israel to sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins. But the point that I want to make here is that here was a point as well where the recognition was made that this king, this ruler, was exalted out of the dust. Any one of us this morning or this evening, any one of us this evening, if we reach any level at all of respect or authority in any position anywhere, it is still that God is exalting us out of the dust. Whether I have the opportunity to pastor Wiseball Community Church or some no-name church out in the middle of beyondness and there's only 10 people in that church, it doesn't really matter the numbers, but it's simply being promoted out of the dust to be a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a song leader or a custodian or a doorkeeper in the house of God. Exalted thee out of the dust. Job chapter 4, in the 19th verse, the Amplified said, how much more those who dwell in houses of clay, and that's a reference to these bodies, houses of clay and whose foundations are in the dust. So there we find it in there again, that there's the likeness and the reality, the realization that we are made out of dust. Kids, you know, we hear those little rhymes, little boys are made of and little girls are made of. Somebody somehow was prejudiced against boys, snips and snails and puppy dog tails. That's what little boys are made of. Somebody had a problem with boys, didn't they? Little girls, what is it? Sugar and spice and everything nice. Oh my. It seems as though Scripture bears out that we are made of dust, that it's a recognition throughout the Old Testament. Jehu in Job 34:15 said, man would return to dust. Aren't you glad we're like a clay pot? The psalmist gives us some good news, though. The psalmist tells us in the 103rd Psalm, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, So great are his mercy and loving kindness toward those who reverently and worshipfully fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father loves and pities his children, so the Lord loves and pities those who fear him with reverence and worship and awe. Now that's enough to bless you right there, really, when you stop and think about it, that we, being who we are and how he made us, that he would see fit to provide salvation for us. But listen to the next verse. He knows our frame. He remembers, the Amplified said it's imprinted on his heart. He remembers that we are dust. Oh, God won't put anything more on us than what we're able to bear. Well, the biggest part about that is that he remembers that we are dust. He knows our frame. He knows what he made us of. He made us, and he knows exactly what we need. God doesn't forget that we are weak, that we don't have strength. He knows us individually, even not just a collective group of humanity that he made out of dust, but he knows us individually. You probably could look at a dozen of these and not tell anything apart from them. You wouldn't know anything different about them, but there might be some hidden thing within somewhere that if you drop them all at the same place in the same areas, that some of them would break and some of them might not break. He knows each one of us individually. He remembers that we are dust. Now, not only do we find some good news in the Psalms, but we find good news in the New Testament too. This passage is what got me thinking down this line, and Brian Lyne brought it into a message during revival when he was here. And so this may sound familiar to you for a reason. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." He has given us the light of Christ within us, in our hearts, internally. You say, well, what's so great about that? Well, listen to the next verse. It starts out with that three-letter word that shifts us, transitions us from one thought to another. He said, but. All of this that he's talking about has shined in our hearts, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That flower pot is nothing like that, is it? But you can put a beautiful tulip in there. It's that time of the year. Let's talk about tulips. You can put a beautiful tulip in there, and the value of that clay pot goes up so much more. Simply because a flower, a beautiful flower, is placed within it. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's the key to the whole thing. He made us out of dust so that we, with his power within us, with his light shining through us, can express the glory of God and not be receiving it for ourselves, so that we realize who he is and remember that we are dust. Too often we get to the point where we think we're something when we really are nothing but a clay earthen vessel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're troubled on every side, he said, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body, in the clay pot, always bearing about in the clay pot the dying of the Lord Jesus, that life also of Jesus might be made manifest, growing out of made manifest in our body. This all can be summed up very simply in the words of a songwriter. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. We're the clay pot, but the Savior, the gift of salvation, is the beautiful plant, the beautiful flower inside that gives value to the clay. Let's let Him make us glow with His beauty. May not like being called clay, but that's what He did. He made us out of the dust of the earth so that we can shine His light and He get all the glory. Would you stand with me tonight? Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. He must increase. I must decrease. Let His light, His beauty shine through us. Praise God. There's a hungry world. Somebody said that is the greatest part of our testimony, is that we shine, that we are joyous in our experience with Christ. Let the beauty of Christ be seen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you again for your attendance and attention. It is good to see Ken and Diana back. We've missed them. I was going to say this morning that I needed somebody to introduce them to me. They'd been gone so long I forgot who they were, but so glad to have them back. Diana, would you dismiss us in prayer?